Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Howdy, third hour. Still rolling here. What's happening? Tiki and Tierney on this Tuesday around the country. CBS Sports Radio. CBS Sports Network. Company from our Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. Need to know what it takes for a home loan to fit your budget and your family? Rocket can. Some great conversations. Obviously, Teek and I have been dishing on what went down last night. Big Ben is back. Giants looked more functional in game one of the Joe Judge era. Steelers, let's not get it twisted. Steelers are a tremendous team, so that was not an easy open for the Giants. But still some talent there. Daniel Jones showing you some stuff for sure. Titans, Broncos, we hit that. Couple of good guests. Josh Jacobs was with us from the Raiders. Awesome chat. And Tino Martinez, former Major League Baseball player, four-time World Series champ, most notably with the Yankees, played for Seattle, the Cards as well. Tino was with us, and we'll get with, what do we have? Miles Boykin of the Ravens, their wide receiver next hour. So all the interviews, all the things Teek and I do every day, youtube.com/Teeky and Tierney. Give it a shot. Subscribe, download, click the little bell. When we do something, we'll get it up there quickly. TV's been on top of that, and you'll get a very fast alert. So new content's going to get in your hands or on your laptop pretty quickly. All right, Teek. Speaking of quickly, it seems like very quickly things are getting away from Carson Wentz. And I don't want to just point right to the injury, you know, when he plowed himself into the end zone against the Rams and his knee exploded and scored a touchdown. But is that a logical point where things have gone a little awry? What's going on with Carson Wentz?
It's interesting, BT, because that's where you can start, because that season he was playing as good as any quarterback in the NFL. And I mean, even some of the veteran quarterbacks was Carson Wentz. He was being talked about as an MVP candidate before he dove into the end zone. Now, he's always been reckless with his body, but that's the modern quarterback, right? The old school quarterback is like, don't touch me. I'm going to slide. I'm going to run out of bounds. I mean, Lamar Jackson, Cam Newton, hell, even Josh Allen.
For sure, Josh Allen.
For Buffalo. Yep. I mean, these guys have like uber confidence in their athletic ability. And so they throw their bodies around. They're not worried about taking hits. They know they're protected in the pocket, so they're not even worried about that side of it. So, you know, Carson Wentz is not dissimilar to a lot of the young quarterbacks that we see that like to run around and make plays with his legs. So when that happened, I know he got a lot of criticism. You got to take better care of your body. He got unlucky. You know what I mean? If he would have slid, if he would have hit the ground a second sooner, half a second sooner, he probably doesn't tear his ACL and he's fine and he goes and plays in the Super Bowl. But we'll start there, BT, because we all know what happened. Nick Foles comes in, leads them into the postseason. They grind the hell out of the ball. They ran the ball, you know, more effectively than I think anybody has in the postseason in the last, you know, few years, save for the 49ers last season, except in the Super Bowl. And, you know, their defense was great that year, and they win the Super Bowl. And Carson Wentz has a Super Bowl ring.
Yay!
But it wasn't his, you know what I mean?
It's meaningless. It's meaningless almost.
It is, and it's one more than most people, including myself. But yeah. Still, he wasn't the starting quarterback for the Super Bowl.
Nope.
Now, that's no longer hanging over him, right? Because Nick Foles got, shipped out. And, we don't think about Carson Wentz as the guy on the team that won the Super Bowl, but it was your backup that actually won the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
But from that point on, this is, to me at least, a conversation less about Carson Wentz's ability, even though I am very concerned, and I think I always will be, about him staying healthy, because it seems seemingly every year something plagues him injury-wise. Even in training camp, he had a soft tissue injury this year. This is more, to me, about the Eagles failing Carson Wentz. And it starts up front. It starts with their offensive line. They're getting old. Jason Peters. I mean, this conversation we're having about Jason Peters. Is he going to come back? Is he not? Is he going to play guard? Is he going to play tackle? Is he going to be even active in these games? Lane Johnson, who was great. He was out in week one. Brandon Brooks, who's also great. He was out in week one. So they got old really quickly. And as a result, you got to start these young players. Compound that with the fact that Jay Ajayi and LeGarrette Blount, who were just beast of runners, with that offensive line, they got shipped out. And all of a sudden, where's the run game? I like Miles Sanders from Penn State, but Corey Clement, I like these guys in situational roles, but they're your guys. You're giving Carson Wentz those guys when it's not what made him special in that first year. And then the worst part about it is, other than Dallas Goedert and Zach Ertz, who are really good tight ends, who the hell is he throwing the ball to? I mean, Alshon Jeffrey and Nelson Aguilar were at times inconsistent and in more cases like liabilities as wide receivers. And you look at the wide receiving core now, Jalen Reagor, I like, but he's a rookie. DeSean Jackson, I like, but he's 34 years old. I mean, where is the support around this great franchise, potentially great franchise quarterback that you brought in? They failed him offensively, and it's starting to show. He got sacked 8 times against the Washington football team. 8, and it probably could have been more. Should have been more.
But how much of it is hero ball, where he's trying to just get rid of the football?
But
he's trying to make a play.
But that's the point. That's the point, though, BT. He shouldn't have to be in that situation. If you have a stout run game, or you have a running back who's big and burly, this is what Doug Peterson wants to do. He's old school in that regard. It's why he won the championship. They've surrounded him with small running backs who aren't hand the ball off 25 times a game and, keep teams honest, and maybe you throw in some play action pass. The wide receivers, they're not getting open. DeSean Jackson can take the top off of anybody, but put him in a route, I'm not sure he's doing it as well as, some of these other, great wide receivers around the National Football League. So to me, we're talking about Carson Wentz because he's the guy. The quarterbacks get the praise, they get the fault, whatever.
They get the contract.
Exactly. He's got a $100 million contract, but they haven't done well by him at all. And it's starting to show itself, especially after a week one loss that no one would have predicted.
Nobody.
If you were chalking up, the guarantees, the Philadelphia Eagles beating the Washington football team were one of them.
It was a survivor pool game.
Oh, that's right.
Washington's going to lose to the Eagles. Let me take Philly.
That's right.
The other one was the Colts over the Jags, and he got burned. So there's probably not a lot of people in the survivor pools here.
No, you're right.
But then why? And I know it was isolated, and it was only a couple of games, and it was a magical run, but if they failed Wentz or are in the process of failing Wentz, how was Nick Foles able to thrive?
Well, because that was 3 years ago, BT.
I understand
that season they didn't fail Wentz. That season they had a great offensive line, and they had two running backs who were monsters, and you didn't want to hit. They had running backs that you had to make a business decision about. Like, dude, this guy might blow me up. Mm-hmm. Right? I might be concussed just trying to hit this guy with LeGarrette Blount and Jay Ajayi, right? Alshon Jeffrey had a very good year that year. I think he had 80-something catches and almost 1,000 or maybe even over 1,000 yards. But since then, he was inconsistent and went down to 40. He was injury prone. He didn't play. Nelson Aguilar couldn't catch a cold. And he's gone. Since that Super Bowl run, this is what I'm talking about. Since that Super Bowl run, they have failed him going forward, because there's just nobody around him other than a tight end, which good teams start the game plan again to say, dude, we take away the tight end. Good luck with anybody else. And it's got to be frustrating. It's why he holds the ball. It's why he tries to be a hero. I'm athletic. I'm going to be a hero. I'm going to run around. I'm going to be Russell Wilson. I'm going to create things with my legs. Heck, I got to run, take off, and get 5 or 6 yards. I'm going to go do that because nobody's open. It's a failure to surround your franchise quarterback, the guy who you paid $100 million with enough talent to actually make the team good.
Okay. First of all, if I tried to challenge that, I would be disingenuous with a point that I've made a lot about Sam Darnold. It's very similar, although I think that certainly
It's even worse for the Jets. Dude.
That's what I'm saying. But you have to be consistent. Like, if you're going to not give a quarterback a pass, but, you know, contextualize, you know, failures or swings, erratic performances, swings, you know, just not consistency. For one guy, then you've got to be able to do it for anybody else that might be in a similar situation, which I'm certainly going to do with Carson Wentz. But you said something earlier. You said that, you know, with Nick Foles and that whole aura, the championship, no longer hanging over him. I disagree. I think it's always hanging over him, and here's why. Now, he's lucky that there's no fans in Philadelphia this year.
True.
You're lucky.
True. True.
He's lucky.
I think what I meant by that is, like, me as a talker about sports. I don't even know what to call myself. I'm not a journalist, whatever. An entertainer about sports. It's not the first thing that jumps to the top of my head. You know what I mean?
You know, mine either.
But it's there. It's not sitting at the top. You know, 2 years ago, it was like, yeah, you're great, but I mean,
it was Foles, primary.
Nick Foles won a championship.
And I agree with that too. Now, I don't know if this is a little, and by the way, there's no way that sports radio is being kind to him out there in Philadelphia, which is merciless to, you know, Mike Schmidt got booed. I mean, Santa got thrown at eggs, booed and eggs. I mean, come on. Michael Irvin, they thought he was paralyzed. They were booing him. I mean, it's relentless out there in Philly, as we know. So they're probably destroying him. The other thing, though, like, I look at his background, and I don't know if this matters, but I'm going to throw a little theory out there
a little bit. Go ahead.
He didn't play for Alabama or Clemson or Notre Dame or all these high-profile schools, the Buckeyes, LSU, right?
Very true.
Smaller profile, very shielded, which has served him well. He's a humble young man. We like him for sure.
Yeah.
But now that he was never exposed to that fervor. I'm not saying that when North Dakota was playing whomever.
Yeah, their rival Montana, game. Yeah, their yeah, rival we, game, whoever it may be.
Back page, front page stuff. Of course, I get it. Local affiliates, CBS, ABC, NBC. Yeah, the cameras are there. Not the same when Bama plays Auburn or Clemson's playing Notre Dame like they will this year. So he was kind of shielded from that criticism, really. Now he's in a situation. That's why I think that the spectrum, like, or the shadow of Nick Foles is still there, because it's a point of reference on the radio. And it's something that Eagles fans, it's like they weaponize it.
Yeah,
like,
it's like,
they
it's like that got you thing.
To say. Yes.
It's that got you thing.
They go to the well and they latch onto that as a weapon and they utilize it.
It's a good point.
Good, because they're very effective at voicing their displeasure, as I said before.
Yeah, no, that's a good point.
So all these things, is there something mechanically wrong? He's sloppy with the ball? I'm sure. I'll leave that to you and others who play.
Yeah, but there really isn't.
He's trying to do too much to shut people up.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe. Maybe, because if you argue for Carson Wentz does this well, they'll say, yeah, but he didn't win the Super Bowl.
That's what I'm saying.
It's like, it's a good point. They do weaponize in a sense. But to me, you got to – any great quarterback – we were just talking about this with Ben Roethlisberger and the Pittsburgh Steelers. I mean, how amazing have they been to help him have – this Hall of Fame career. It's drafting right. It's signing the right free agents, getting rid of the guys who are going to, you know, cripple you financially, Le'Veon Bell, Antonio Brown, and then replacing them with very good alternatives. And in some cases, better alternatives over the years. The Pittsburgh Steelers have done this year over year over year. It's why Big Ben is headed towards the Hall of Fame and has a couple of championships under his belt. The Eagles, as much as we lauded them for the construction of that Super Bowl team, they've let it fall into disrepair. And it reminds me of like Indy, as they you know, underprepared or undersupplied Andrew Luck with an offensive line, with a receiver other than T.Y. Hilton, running game until, you know, most recently with Marlon Mack, who's now out. But, I mean, for a long time.
Even Philip Rivers for years with the Chargers.
That's right. I mean, this is not a unique story to the Philadelphia and Carson Wentz, but it is a story that seems to repeat itself, and it's glaring in Philadelphia. They were 9-7 last year. They were 9-7 the year before that. They basically, you know, by default, got into the playoffs last year because the Cowboys didn't want it. And we know what happened, right? They weren't prepared for it. And you go into this season, you lose game one against a team that had no business beating you. New head coach, a new offense with Dwayne Haskins, who's just trying to figure things out. Yes, their defense is good. I get it. They got, you know, first rounders all across the front four, and then you count, you know, Ryan Kerrigan. There's five first rounders in their front seven. Yeah. You got to protect them, and you got to give them ways to weaponize his offense. It's just not there right now.
Which is one of the reasons why, when we're very critical of Baker Mayfield. You know, it's the antithesis. They bring in Conklin. They draft the kid, the big kid, Jedrick Wills. They've got weapons. They got tight ends. They got receivers. Got two terrific running backs. They got this. They got that. And here we are sitting saying, well, what the hell happened to Baker Mayfield? After a while, it's not what's around you. It's you.
Yes.
Whereas with Carson Wentz, it's a very good point. I'm not giving up. I'm not bailing yet. I would take him as my quarterback in a heartbeat. I do believe in him. It's not like he's throwing 18 or 19 picks a year. He's always in the single digits when he plays a full season, but the fumbles are a mess.
Yep.
And the other thing that's expiring, and we've already seen a glimpse of it from one of the teams and a little snippet from the other, this division's getting better from the bottom up, and Giants and Washington's not going to be doormats. They're not doormats any longer now.
Yeah, you're right. So, you know, I mean, you don't have four games to chalk into the W column just as an automatic.
That's what I'm saying.
That's just not the case anymore.
No, that's over. That's expired. The NFC East is going to become pretty competitive. And if the Eagles aren't careful, they'll flip with either Washington or Giants at some point because of what Tiki said, their inability to surround and insulate him. It's criminal. I mean, now at least they've got the one again, not from him. They've got the one championship, so it keeps the, you know, the Wolves on the bone for a little longer. But man, that's going to expire too at some point.
That's right.
All right, Teague, this team's looking to take the next step. Miles Boykin, wide receiver for the Ravens, the defending MVP. Lamar Jackson, they just thumped the Browns. They won by, what was it, 38-6, whatever it was. They crushed them. So, the Ravens are trouble, but they've had some playoff failures, and they need to get over that to take the next step. And we'll see how they're feeling after their week one win with their receiver. He joins us coming up next. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
When you need auto parts fast, O'ReillyAuto.com is just a few clicks away. They offer convenient options for you to get your parts quickly. You can choose to have them delivered right to your door with free shipping on most orders over $35, or order online at O'ReillyAuto.com and pick up for free at your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store. They'll even bring it out to you curbside. You can have your battery tested free of charge while you're there. And if it needs to be replaced, the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts can help you find the exact battery that fits your vehicle at a guaranteed low price, like SuperStart batteries exclusively at O'Reilly Auto Parts, designed to meet the electrical demands of today's vehicles. Get dependable power and performance from a SuperStart battery for your car, truck, motorcycle, lawnmower, boat, and more. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts or visit O'ReillyAuto.com today. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day.
CBS Sports Radio's toll-free lines, 1-855-212-4227 here on Tiki and Tierney, brought to you by Geico. It's 855-212-4CBS. Do you know that right now Geico offers an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? It's on top of what Geico could already save you. So, what are you waiting for? Visit geico.com to learn more. Well, the Ravens certainly slapped down the Browns. And they slapped them early, and they slapped them often, and they slapped them late. Nice divisional win. Not a real surprise. They were big favorites, but, you know, Browns have a ton of talent for sure. And I think we're all waiting to see, all right, is this the year the Ravens take that logical next step? They've been coming the last couple of years. They got a lot of talent. Great organization. Teague, we're joined by one of their wide receivers from Notre Dame, Miles Boykin. and he's with us here on the show. Nice win in week one, Miles. How you doing today, buddy?
I'm great. Thank you for having me.
You got it, man.
Great to have you on. Congratulations on your week one win and start to the season. But I mean, I got to start with this Xbox, you know, gift that you sent to your mom, who is a frontline worker, delivery nurse in Chicago. You know, and I saw your Insta or your Twitter post where you said, thanks for paying for all those subscriptions over the years. I know that I'm going through that with my older kids as well. But how was this? How did this come about? I mean, this is really awesome. Your mom's on the cover of a Madden 21 game in her nurse, her scrubs, and she had to have loved this. Tell us a little bit about this.
Well, yeah, I mean, it was awesome. I sent out the tweet a couple months ago talking about how my mom had just figured out that she's been paying for my Xbox Live account for I don't know how long, since I was in sixth grade, and Xbox kind of reached out, and you know, we kind of just started talking then and talked about cool things that we could do, especially since my mom's a nurse. And obviously during COVID, to try to do something special for her. And, I got to tip my hats off to them, because I thought it was the coolest thing in the world that they made my mom the first, you know, female cover athlete for Madden. So it was awesome. And obviously she was crying and ecstatic about it. But, you know, I was just happy I was able to brighten her day. You know, my mom has done a lot for me over the years. And, you know, I wouldn't be where I am without her.
Yeah, she have a little skill? Can she work those buttons?
Right?
Can she play a little bit?
We're going to find out, because she says she wants to play me, and I'm not going to take it easy on her. I know that.
Nice. Well, you didn't take it easy on the Browns. Probably wasn't as easy as it looked. They do have a lot of talent. You know, let's face it, Miles. I mean, this is a team that's on the short list for, by everybody's estimation, anybody who knows anything about football that has a microphone, the Ravens are front and top of tongue in the championship conversation. What needs to be different this year compared to last year to win it, to get to the Super Bowl, take that next step, and just to keep getting better? What do you guys, how do you close the gap?
Well, I mean, I think in terms of just, you know, offensively speaking, I thought we were really young last year. You know, we were young last year, and we're young again this year, but I think the difference is we're experienced now. I mean, I was a rookie and I played in 17 games last season on a team that was the best team in the NFL for 16 weeks straight. So it was, for me, it was an eye-opening experience, because once we got to the playoffs, you know, really anybody can win. It doesn't matter where you're the first seed, sixth seed. It doesn't matter about any of that stuff. The thing that really takes over at that point is, you know, just having experience.
Yeah.
And, you know, obviously playing in the playoffs, like I said, my rookie year, you know, we have that experience in our back pocket. I mean, it's only my second year, but I'm expecting you to act like a veteran now. Like, it's his second year. He's expected to act like a veteran now. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the mentality that this offense has kind of taken over. We're young, but we're not inexperienced anymore.
Boss, can you think about this, though? You, in so many ways, I mean, the timing is serendipitous, man. If you're a rookie this year instead of last year, I mean, I know you're a smart kid, Notre Dame stock. They don't let anybody in there. I get it. So you probably would have adapted nicely, like Tiki would have as well. But imagine jumping into the season this year as a rookie with COVID and Zooms. And I mean, man, oh, man, these rookies must be swimming.
Yeah, it's tough on these guys. I mean, we got a great group of rookies, too. But, I mean, it's tough on them at first, especially during camp, because you just get thrown in right with the vets from day one. There was no OTAs, no mini camp. So, no, but I think they've been handling it well, especially our rookies. They went out there, made some plays on Sunday. And, yeah, no, it's definitely, the circumstances change things a lot. But, you know, I think we're just grateful that we're all playing right now.
Yeah, it makes it easy when you have a coaching staff that is good as your coaching staff is. And it also helps when you have a quarterback like Lamar Jackson. Now, we know that he's a video game. We're talking about Madden 21. He's a video game out on the field. But the question I have for you as a wide receiver, I mean, you caught with three passes last week. I know you had four targets. It's not like you guys don't throw the ball. 25 attempts Lamar had last week, 20 and 25 he was as well. So he's getting better in that regard. At least that's the criticism that people want to throw at him. But more importantly, as a receiver, in order to make some of these big plays happen, you got to be aware of what he's doing. Like, how aware do you have to be downfield? I'm talking obviously not catching the ball, but blocking for him.
No, just everything you do. I mean, it's kind of crazy because I've been on plays where I'm on the backside of the play and he's running to the front side of the field. Next thing I know, he's all the way back by me, running on my sideline. And, you know, I just got to hold that block just because he's so dynamic. You never know where he's going to be, which is a great thing. I mean, having Lamar out there, another thing, you never know when the ball is going. Like I said, I've been on the backside of a play on a pass play and he's rolling out. Next thing I know, he's hitting me, you know. on the backside. So it's just like, it's crazy the things that he can do. His vision is amazing, and I've never played with a quarterback like that, obviously, but When you got a quarterback like him who breaks all the traditional rules of being a quarterback because he's so dynamic, you have to break the rules of being a receiver at times, just because you know if you get open, he's going to find a way to get you the ball.
And you got to break the rules of how you coach him. You got to let the horse run out of the stable, man. You can't keep him locked up.
Exactly.
You know?
Our coaching staff does a great job with that.
They do. We're talking to Miles Boykin, great coaching staff. What is he, you know, I remember meeting him when he won the Heisman, reserved, very quiet, very humble, very classy young man. How has he grown in the huddle? What is his voice like? Not in front of cameras, not around us, but in the locker room from a leadership point of view, in the huddle on an important drive. Take us inside, you know, what he's like as you stand right next to him as you get ready for him to call play.
He's just a true leader. He's demanding in the huddle. I mean, like I said, he's just a true leader. And, you know, every time we step on that field, he expects greatness out of everybody that's around him, and that's what makes a great quarterback. You know, if we're all great, then the team is great. And, you know, I think that's just something that, you know, every time I try to step out on that field, you know, my job is to go out there and make things as easy as possible on him. And his mindset is, you know, my job is to make things as easy as possible for everybody else on the field. So we all have that mindset. We're all working together as a team, and, you know, that's how you reach team goals.
Will he chew a guy out if he has to?
I don't know if he'd chew a guy out necessarily, but he'll tell him. He's not, like, that's probably one of my other favorite things about him. Like, he's not going to, you know, try to belittle you in front of other people. He's going to say, hey, listen, like, you got to do this or that, or, you know, how can I help you do this or that? You know, that's the type of person he is. So, you know, whenever, you know, he's talking to you, it's coming from the heart. It's not coming from a place of, you know, he's mad at you or anything like that.
Gotcha.
It's coming from, you know, I want to win. We got to do the right thing.
Yeah. You know, Miles, you mentioned something that was very interesting. Lamar Jackson breaks quarterback rules. So as a receiver, you have to break wide receiver rules. And I know this from being in the NFL. Not all plays are clean. It's not like, we drew it up like this. It's going to come out like it doesn't. And all of a sudden, there's a scramble going on. Do you guys have, like, scramble rules? Like what happens when, you know, 1-2-3 read is not there and Lamar all of a sudden pulls the ball down? You're thinking he's running, but he's actually throwing. What are you guys taught to do in order to stay viable for Lamar downfield? Because he will fire it in somewhere when no one expects it.
Right. Well, I mean, I think the biggest thing for us is really just get open. You know, like, common sense. Like, obviously, he's rolling out right. Don't run away from him and run left. You know, things, just simple things like that. If you get open in his line of vision, he's going to find you. And that's why I said you have to break the rules of being a receiver, because, you know, there's not quarterbacks in the league that can do what Lamar can do. Lamar will make four people miss in the backfield and throw a dart downfield. Like, quarterbacks, you know, a lot of quarterbacks can't do that.
Yeah.
So we have to be prepared for that and just play till the whistle's blown, truly.
I was going to ask you about your offensive coordinator, Greg Roman, who obviously was with Colin Kaepernick, and Colin Kaepernick was similar. I think Lamar is a significantly better athlete than Cap was. But as he installs, as he puts, you know, plays together, you know, how does he install what you guys do? Because it's so unconventional from what I'm used to seeing in the National Football League.
Well, I know our blocking schemes are different in terms of, like, you know, how the O-line blocks, how the fullback blocks, and running backs block. But as a receiver, I mean, he makes it simple. You know, there's a reason why I don't know any of that stuff. It just makes it complicated for me.
Yeah, you don't need to know it, right?
Right, exactly. But, I mean, he makes it really simple in terms of do your job and everything will work out. So I know if I got to stay on the corner for a play, it doesn't matter if I'm on the corner for 10 seconds or 3 seconds. You know, if it's 10 seconds, usually it's a good play, but – I just know that that's my assignment. If I got to be on the safety, that's my assignment. If I got to be on the backer, that's my assignment. And, you know, that's how he kind of installs things. Like, everybody has their job. Get your job done. And if 11 people get their job done, then we're going to have positive plays.
We're talking to Miles Boykin. Probably last thing for me. Are you the kind of guy who stays up and watches the Steelers and watches that game and gets a sense of what they are in 2020? Or are you just, I'm not playing, I don't have to work, I'm going to decompress a little bit? Did you watch?
No, I definitely watched. But, I mean, it's so hard watching football. Obviously, you know, once you're in the league, it's so hard to watch it and not criticize it like it's tape. It's hard to watch football for fun. So I watched the first half, and then I kind of let my mind take a break.
Yeah.
That defense is pretty stout, man. That defense pretty good, Miles.
Yeah, but they were good last year, too.
I think they're better this year.
Even though their offense wasn't as great.
So are we.
Yeah,
that's true. Right. Not saying you're not.
You know, it's Miles. It's funny you say that because I'm the same way. I actually became not a fan when I became an NFL player. I was a fan before I was an NFL player. Once I became an NFL player, I wasn't a fan anymore. You'll understand what I'm talking about years from now. Last question for me. Notre Dame's in the ACC. Mm. I mean, obviously, they play in the ACC, but they're actually in the ACC this year. What do you think about your alma mater's chances, one, of winning the ACC, but also this unconventional college football season? You know, what does it look like to you?
Man, I got a couple of things to say about that. First of all,
let it go.
I'm happy they're playing football. I'm happy they're playing football because I love watching them play. But second of all, man, I'm so tired of taking crap from everybody saying, well, Notre Dame needs to join a conference. Notre Dame needs to do that. How does our schedule get easier when we join a conference? I don't get that. You know, if they take care of business, we should be in the ACC championship. Obviously, Clemson's a tough team.
Yeah,
I know we play them, but I think they're taking the best two teams with overall record.
That they are. ACC,
so
that's
yeah.
Right.
So then, you know, I think Notre Dame has, you know, one of the best chances to play in the ACC championship. So no, I'm definitely excited to see that though. But I mean, at the same time, you know, I talked to a couple guys there, and they're excited to play for a conference championship. That's something that, you know, Notre Dame has never been able to do, obviously. So I think it's going to be cool. It's cool watching them play. I watched them play Duke last week. You know, they got off to a rough start, but, you know, they put out the
win. I mean, it was the first game.
Typical Notre Dame fashion.
That's right. True.
Hey, don't slip up against North Carolina. I did their game last weekend. Their quarterback, Sam Howell, is pretty good. But that's the second-to-last game. So you have some time to worry about North Carolina and then Miami at the end.
Oh yeah, trust me. They better take care of business because I'm gonna be upset if they don't.
Nice.
It's gonna make everybody say, "Oh, that's why Notre Dame don't play in a conference." So.
Exactly. Well,
Miles,
listen, man.
Miles,
yeah,
appreciate you, man.
Good having you.
It was great having you on. Good luck for the rest of the season. Everybody is watching your team. Obviously, offensively, we only talked about that, but your defense is hella good too. So, you know, good luck to you guys. Again.
Hella, look at them. Did you say hella?
Yeah, it's old school.
You did say hella. I know what it is.
I'm 45, bro.
I know what it is. I didn't know you knew what it was. Thanks, Miles.
All right, I appreciate you guys.
Appreciate it, buddy. Hella good. I've never the first time I ever heard that was an ex-girlfriend said that to me, like 2002. I'm like, what? Hella good.
Yeah, people are like, what? Who's he talking about?
Hella.
What did I miss? Let me Google that real quick.
Hella. It's the first time you dropped it on the show, T.
It is. First for everything.
Oh, yeah.
At least they didn't make up a word.
That's true. Although to some people, they're like, what,
yeah,
what
they're
does
right.
that mean?
That's Hella? Right.
H-E-L-A. Is there one or one
cuss?
Or two L's?
Did he cuss?
All right, update for Mac. We'll come back. We'll hit the blast. That is after Ackerman's update, which is right now. Here's Rich. Circle back to the NBA. Get you some thoughts on tonight as the Eastern Conference Finals start. And obviously a huge one out west. Game 7, Nuggets and the Clippers. First up, though, we'll get to the blast as well. Time for the game plan for success brought to you by Napa. Taking a look at the A's, who are once again doing their thing. And the A's plan for success, well, they won the second game of their doubleheader yesterday. They beat Seattle 9-0 thanks to the starting pitching. Mike Minor got the complete game 7-inning shutout. He allowed 2 hits, so he spun a nice one, struck out 8. Oakland now 6.5 up over the Astros in the American League West. So the A's are still bowling. Whether you stop by a locally owned Napa Auto Parts, Napa Auto Care, or visit Napa online, if you need help with your ride, you can count on Napa know-how. All right, Tiki and Tierney here, CBS Sports Radio. Tiki, let's bang out the blast and give everybody a couple of good minutes on the NBA before we get out of here. You ready?
Yep, let's go.
Let's go.
So many topics, so little time. We give you 5 stories in 5 minutes, but don't take too long or you'll suffer the buzzer. It's time for the blast with Tiki and Tierney.
All right, more memos from the NFL. This one's actually pretty important, though. The NFL sent out a memo yesterday which reinforced that all team personnel need to wear face coverings on the sideline at all times here, no exceptions. Now, Rams coach Sean McVay was seen on Sunday night wearing his mask right below his chin for most of the night. Does the NFL need to install a penalty system for teams not wearing masks?
Yeah, I mean, that would be interesting. I think a fine is what they're thinking of, but a penalty would do even more damage. Get a warning for, I don't know what you would call it,
insubordination?
Yeah.
I mean, loosely translated?
You got to do something that's existing that's already there, like unsportsmanlike conduct, maybe. Who knows? And then give them a warning, and if they continue, then you throw the flag. And then it will change immediately. If a coach or whoever is supposed to be wearing a mask loses 15 yards for your team, they'll put it on real quick.
So. Yeah, I'm not a big fan of some of the pettiness of the NFL, like, you know, the uniform police. But this is different. I mean, this is the entire league is,
that's right,
is hinged. The entire future of this season is hinged on people adhering to the protocol.
No
so
doubt.
Yeah, I would start with a monetary fine, give him a chance to get it right. And then at that point, if you get hit with a second one, now you're being reckless and now you're endangering others. Remember, the mask is most people know this, but the mask isn't so much when I wear a mask, it's not necessarily to protect me from somebody else at the store. It's for me to protect them from me. I mean, that's really the essence of the mask, although it does work both ways.
Because you never know.
You never know. Come on, guy, put the mask on. I mean, end the story. Jerry Rice joined 95.7 The Game in San Francisco, my old station, and he expressed a little anger at the Niners' sideline behavior.
Something that really, really got me heated yesterday. During a break, they were playing music, and we had certain guys dancing that hadn't done anything on the football field, that didn't have a reception or anything. That's not the standard of the San Francisco 49ers. If you want to dance or do whatever, you shouldn't be wearing that uniform. You got to be productive. You got to contribute to the team. And if you can't do that, go do something else. That pissed me off. Now, if you score a touchdown, you could do whatever you want. You could break dance. I don't care. But if you are dancing and you haven't made a catch or you haven't done anything on the football field, I have a problem with that.
Interesting. Jerry Rice. Again, I was 95.7 The Game in San Francisco. What's our thoughts on players having fun while they're not playing?
Yeah, this is interesting, BT. Because
this is generational is what it is.
It is generational, but it's also we are in such a unique sporting experience. There's no fans. And I saw this exact thing at North Carolina when Syracuse Orange were visiting last weekend. There were the walk-ons or the redshirt freshmen or whoever. The guy's not playing. Yeah. They were playing music in the stadium. Crowd noise is pumped in, too. But there's also music like there always is in stadiums. And these guys are dancing. And they're trying to lift because there's no energy in a stadium with no fans. And so they're doing that to try to, make it more exciting on the sideline. Mm-hmm. And so in this case, I kind of forgive it. Even in the National Football League, I know what Jerry Rice is saying, but this is a unique year, and these guys need to find energy wherever they can find it.
Yeah, come on, man. Jerry.
I know.
That's an antiquated stance, Jerry. I love Jerry Rice. He's absolutely a GOAT, but come on. You got to. It's a different generation, dude. You got to let these young men have fun. Yeah, I wish there was a little more balance. I wish things were a little like they used to be with certain in terms of how players. I don't want to say comport them.
Yeah, but I know comport is right. Yeah, but I know what you're saying.
You know, like sometimes the celebrations are a little excessive, or the timing of the celebrations. You're losing 30-7. You score a cosmetic touchdown. You spike the ball.
Yeah.
I mean that's what I mean.
Yeah.
But you got to let young men and young women be young men and be young women. And this generation goes about it a little differently than ours did. But then again, I mean, I was chirping and I was having fun, so not that different. I don't know. I disagree with Jerry. I really do. I disagree with Jerry on that. All right. So Mike Norvell's tenure in Tallahassee. Off to a bit of a rocky start over the week, and the Seminoles dropped the opener. Georgia Tech, not a lot of offense. 16-13 was the score. What do we make of what happened to FSU's football program, let's say the past three seasons or so? It's obviously going the wrong direction. What do we make of this, Teak?
Well, I think it's mostly quarterback play. James Blackman's our quarterback, and it's not that he's not good. It's been so inconsistent, and we know he had the offseason where it was a perceived, if not actual, disconnect with his players around some of the things that were going on in this country as it pertained to the racial sensitivities and reckoning that's going on. But also COVID. So it's almost like the messaging is off here. And maybe he's just not communicating well. But the problem is it's translating to the on-field product. They had no business losing that last week. And this is a trend. It's happening year over year. It's bad news, I think, down there early.
Well, bad news for Norvell is that, he starts this way and it looks relatively inept. The good news is he's going to need a lot more of these games before he's in the same category as Willie Taggart, who was horrendous.
No doubt.
Willie Taggart was a bomb at
Florida
State.
That felt like a coaching issue more than, you know, communication issue.
Yeah, yeah. I don't pretend to know all the inner workings of the recruiting base, you know, but they're down, and this is cyclical. I mean, Kentucky basketball, not recently.
Yeah.
They've been down. Duke had a little down spurt when Wojo was their main point guard. They weren't that good at that point. Couple of Coach K's back surgery, they had a bad year. UNC basketball's been down. It is what it can. It's been, well, Kansas isn't really that down too much, but
yeah,
they need to change this fast, because what happens then, an entire generation of players forgot that you were dominant.
And then you can't recruit.
That's what I'm saying.
And then forget it.
Yeah. Jimbo's 2015 accomplishments are still in the rearview mirror. After a while, that goes bye-bye, you know?
Agreed.
We got to start making some new memories here. All right, Major League Baseball is finalizing plans for a playoff bubble, including some limited fans. However, the league wants to ban locker room champagne celebrations.
Mm.
Is that going too far? God, I love those celebrations. I love it. Guys smoking stogies, banging back beers, drenching the reporters.
This is just for this year?
Yeah, just this year.
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I guess I am too. Anything related to COVID, I'm going to be conservative more so than not.
You got to be sensitive to it.
We are, for sure. But can I make the case they're around each other anyway? As long as there's no outside reporters, what's the big difference? I don't know. But
the problem, though, BT, is that these guys, again, they're like the NFL. Some of them are maybe carrying this virus, and it just hasn't, like manifested itself yet. It has become contagious. You know what I mean?
Maybe.
Because sometimes, what are they saying, 10 to 14 days sometimes?
Or false negatives.
Or false negatives, yeah, or whatever
know.
It
I
may
got
be.
You.
So
yeah.
I agree with you 100%, but God, you just got to be careful right
now.
I
agree. At the end of the day, be careful. You can't mess around with this anymore.
Yeah.
I got you. All right. This was interesting. I saw this live. I actually flipped over to MLB Network and I saw this. So Trent Grisham hit a bomb off of Clayton Kershaw, and he was Hollywooding it. He was admiring it. To say that there was some admiration, that is conservative. He was staring it. He was pimping. Now, Robert said he's fine with players pimping home runs, but a pitcher of Kershaw's caliber deserves a little more respect. Is it okay to admire bombs off some and not others? See, to me, that is inconsistent, and that's a little disingenuous.
Yep.
Now, I've got a limit. Like, you never take it 20 seconds to jog around the bases, and nor should it take you 7 seconds to leave the batter's box. That's a joke.
Yep.
You know, like Bautista with that ridiculous bat flip back in the day with Toronto 5 years ago, whatever it was. Although at that moment, I even excused him. But, you know, on a regular season game, you know, it's a young team that's trying to overtake the Dodgers, so I get it. And you don't want to deprive them of that energy. But that was a bit excessive. However, whether it's a stiff who should really be in 3A, AAA, or Kershaw, I don't think that really matters. I think there should be a finite window as to how long you stay in that box before you expect one in your back.
Yeah, agree. It doesn't matter at all who it is. I mean, because you don't. It's respect for the game. Much less, it's not about the pitcher in particular. It's respect for the game. So yeah, I agree with you.
Okay.
Time's up.
Your time
is over for another day.
All right, Teak. So you asked me before, with about 10 seconds right before we broke for the second hour, what I thought in the Nuggets game. I'll give you both of my predictions tonight.
Go ahead.
I think the Celtics win. I think the Celtics win a little handily, only because I think Toronto, Miami is going to be a little, what's the word I'm looking for? Certainly not tapped out, not lazy. I just think that Boston finds a way to win this one by 6 or 7 points. Four-quarter game.
Yeah.
Well, they ice it late with a couple of free throws. I got the Celtics in the first game.
I kind of see this one opposite. I feel like these are two very good head coaches, one of whom has, you know, great success and championships in the postseason. That's Eric Spoelstra in Miami, and a dog in Jimmy Butler, and a sniper in Tyler Hero. I'm going to go Miami in this one.
Okay. And the nightcap, I want to see Denver win, but I think the Clippers win by a handful of points.
Yeah.
Tight game. I got the Clippers moving on.
Dude, I can see this one going into overtime.
No, that
would
be sick.
Like a one-point game. Seriously, that's what I feel like it's going to be. Clippers out early, Nuggets second, and all of a sudden it balances out. I mean, I'm going to go Clippers, though.
All right. Well, you enjoy the games, everybody. Have a great Tuesday. Safe, sensible, sane.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.